Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Keep Talking. This is season 5. And if you're new here, this is your host, Sarah, talking right now. The cover art has changed. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you probably noticed that. And shout out to Derek Tucker for designing that. He's also the one that has designed the small logo that you see in the bottom, which is actually my overall brand logo. He does such a great job with that. So thank you for that. And we just wanted to keep the design, you know, the same colors and a minimal feel. But I think we both agreed on the fact that it does seem to stand out a little bit more than just your average podcast art. So this episode that you're going to hear was actually recorded before Thanksgiving. And to put that into context, in case you're listening to this at a later date, that was probably about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. So we might mention some stuff that is a little bit more relevant to that time. Just keep that in mind. It was before Thanksgiving, so we were kind of expecting the holiday to come up. But I wanted to wait and launch this conversation with the new art. So there you have it. It is a conversation with a good friend of mine who has been on past episodes before. He's going to introduce himself. But one thing I do want you to keep in mind, this conversation can go down a lot of different rabbit holes, and we tried to keep it at a pretty high level. So there are topics that we might dig into in episodes to come. So if you feel like we didn't really get too deep into a certain part that you would have liked to hear more about, just wait. It's probably coming because there's already been some conversations about that to be in the works coming up. This conversation was also recorded over Zoom. So let me just, you know, say that beforehand. Just bear with us. There was a little bit of technical difficulties a few times, but it's salvageable. It's okay. It's not really that bad, but you might notice some breaks every now and then because we had the internet cut out a few times during it. So that's always great. And then before, of course, you're going to hear the sponsor for the episode before we get into the conversation. But I also want to say that if you're listening on Spotify, there is a place that you can click the stars under a podcast on the podcast page and leave a rating review there. And then if you're listening on the podcast app with Apple, you can leave a rating and a review there. And also, if you're listening on Anchor or any other podcast platform, you probably will be able to leave some sort of rating there. So hopefully, if you don't want to go ahead and, you know, maybe give it 5 stars right now, you can do that at the end. I really like to hear feedback, whether it's 5 stars or not. But if it's not, hopefully we'll get you to change that later on. So anyways, here we go. Okay. So we'll let you go ahead and reintroduce yourself.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again, Sarah. I think it has been about a year since our last podcast, if I remember correctly. Time flies, but yeah, my name's Tyler Turner. I'm based in the Raleigh-Durham area in North Carolina with my wife and pup, who might make an appearance. My pup, she's laying over here taking a nap right now, but she might make an appearance in a little bit. But yeah, I've just lifelong sufferer of anxiety and depression, and it's kind of just taking it upon myself to educate myself, you know, on the topics. And Sarah and I have had a lot of conversations, and you know, I've dug into these topics before, so this is something I'm really excited to do again.
Yeah, except this time you have not much idea of what we're discussing. Just yeah, to provide context. Yeah, exactly. So basically yesterday I watched, it's called Stutz. And so for people that don't know anything about what that is, it's a documentary that's on Netflix that did come out yesterday, and I watched it almost immediately. But it's Jonah Hill making a documentary about his therapist. And so as you watch it, basically the premise is like the therapist, his goal with different sessions with like the different celebrities and stuff that he sees is to just make sure that he's giving them something so they feel like they can fix something like right then, versus like just I guess making them feel a little bit better about talking about stuff. He's wanting to make them feel like they can go ahead and change something now. And they actually end up admitting throughout it that it wasn't just like they sat down and did this. It was over the course of over 2 years of recording stuff. So it gets pretty crazy. And I don't want us to go into like a full discussion of the actual documentary itself, because I don't want to spoil it, because I highly recommend it. And I also don't want to share like their personal stories about it. But I do think that the points that the therapist is kind of saying the whole time is what I want us to kind of dissect. So that's where we're going with this.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, it was the line that Jonah Hill said, you want your friends to just listen and you want your therapist to give you advice. That was the point where I was like, I need to get out a pen. Got to start writing notes down, because this sounds just like stuff that we've said before. The starting point for all of it is them discussing a life force. So basically, people need that in order to have some sort of like purpose in life. So, I mean, you can just think of it as purpose, but they're calling it a life force. And he puts it into basically a pyramid. And so the bottom section that is the biggest part of it is your body. So like you physically, as far as exercise, diet, and sleep, that makes up the biggest portion, I guess, of your, what affects your mental health. Doing things to help with exercise, diet, and sleep, he was saying, gives almost an 85% positive difference in mental health. And I just think it's kind of wild that that makes up so much of what it takes to kind of turn things around, like just physical things for your body.
Yeah, no, that's a big one. And that actually, it's close to home right now. So I'm actually working with a holistic doctor right now. I've been going through some food intolerances. And that's a big thing that they've hammered home as well is, you know, I've been incorporating veggies at every meal that I probably wasn't doing. I definitely wasn't doing before, those types of things, and just how crucial that aspect of you know, mental health connected to physical health. So yeah, it's definitely mind blowing, but it makes sense, right? Like, you know, you're sleeping better, you're gonna have better mental health, you're eating better, you know, working out, you're able to relieve some of that stress and things like that. It goes a long way, but it is pretty crazy. It is pretty crazy to think about.
Right. Cause to me, at least, that's some of the first stuff that I abandon when things are going bad. It's like, okay, well, all the junk food, I'm not going to stay up. I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm definitely not going to work out today.
And it's almost like it's a curve, right? Where, I mean, with this diet, right, one of the first things I had to do was cut sugar, you know, and I don't eat a ton of sugar in my diet, but I was starting to crave things, you know. I was especially going through periods of anxiety, as you said, you know, I was like, I want to get a pizza, or I want to have, you know, a sugary Starbucks drink, you know, to kind of lift my spirits. And it is rewiring almost in your brain, where it's like, let's crave healthy things. Let's not crave these bad things. I know for myself, caffeine is a big trigger for me and my anxiety. And so when I'm in a place of anxiety, I might be craving that sugary caffeinated drink. But in the long run, I do recognize that, okay, I can go have that drink and I might get that dopamine hit or whatever, you know, comes from drinking that drink. But I know in the long run, then that caffeine is going to end up sending me in another spiral. You know, I'm just going to keep going further and further along that. And so I think that first step is the hardest, right? Taking that first step to make those changes. And then hopefully naturally you'll start to crave, hey, I'm craving exercise. You know, I'm craving going to the gym, or I'm craving this salad as opposed to pizza. Not quite there yet, but you know, you can see it in baby steps where your body will just naturally start to, you know, to recognize, oh, you know, this is actually helping me, not hurting me.
For the second layer of that pyramid, he says that it comes from people and your like relationships, whether that's romantic or not. And then the top being relationship that you have with yourself. So like basically your relationship with your unconscious. And he even says that like relationships are like handholds to let yourself get pulled back into life, and that it could basically be anyone, just that you need someone there. And at that time, they're almost like representative of humanity as a whole, just because you're needing this human to human connection, which I know is stuff that we've talked about before as being something that is very difficult when you know that it would probably be best for you to be around people, but it's also a struggle to want to be vulnerable and stuff. And he did mention that a trick for the relationship with yourself would be writing, just writing anything, really, any sort of journaling. And I know that relates to you especially.
Yeah, that it was actually something that I wanted to bring up on this call. And I think it's a good segue there. I've been reading a lot about empathy gap. And essentially it's our hot and cold states. And so what that means is, you know, a hot state is going to be a time where you're in anxiety, you're in stress, anger, you know, any of those extreme emotions, versus a cold state is going to be more of your rational thinking. Right. And I see, you know, a pattern in our conversations a lot. It's like, you know, you get into that hot state and you start isolating, or you start eating junk, you know, you start doing those things. And when you get back to your cold state, eventually you wonder, you know, why the heck was I doing that? You know, why did I isolate myself and only make things worse? And that's where the empathy gap comes in, that we as humans can't fully understand, you know, our emotions when we're in that state. Mm-hmm. Another example of this I read was, you know, asking someone, okay, if you saw someone pass out unconscious, what would you do? Right. And if I asked you that right now, you probably have a very rational response, you know, a calm minded, like CPR, call 911.
Right.
But if you were presented with that, you know, you would react very differently in that moment with adrenaline pumping and anxiety. And so kind of circling that back to what we're talking about here is, I think getting an understanding, you know, a better understanding of our needs in those moments, you know, again, we can't fully understand what we're going to need in those moments, but, mm-hmm. you know, having some grace with ourselves and understanding, you know, I did need that human connection, but when I was in that moment, the only place I needed to go was to isolate, right? And not beat ourselves up for going to that place. And I think that then it better prepares us for that next moment when we go in that hot state, when we've had that grace with ourselves. We recognize, okay, I'm not going to beat myself up for, you know, for isolating in this moment. But I don't know, it's fascinating, because try as you might, right? Like we continually will fall back into that, right? Like we can sit here and say, oh yeah, the human connection, that's very, very important. Like I'm never going to abandon that again. But yeah, it's very crazy how there are those distinct kind of sides of us.
Then he kind of goes on to refer to basically like the thing that pulls us away from those states each time. He calls it part X and kind of refers to it as like the villain. And then he actually goes back on later to refer to it as like the devil, which I don't know if he's necessarily a Christian therapist at all, but you can definitely put all of this in the context of how your relationship with God is, in order to, you know, like even your life force, like knowing where your purpose comes from and everything. But basically the part X that he's saying is because it will X you out. So it's like the judgmental and antisocial part of you that wants to keep you from changing or growing. And it's this voice of impossibility. And the thing is that you can't get rid of that ever. And so he's saying that you have to kind of change how you look at that and realize that that actually allows you to change and let the negativity allow you to grow, because there's three aspects of reality that he says no one can avoid, which is pain, uncertainty, and constant work. And so learning how to be happy with the process of dealing with those three things is kind of what he's aiming at here, is like the process, basically improving that process so you could be happy with those things that are basically never going to go away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that goes back to, you're always going to go back to those high and cold states, right? Like we're always going to have moments of extreme emotion. I think it's, and you know, it's work that I've done in therapy too, is it's not trying to run from those moments, but it's, you know, how can we better cope, you know, in those moments, or use those things as you said, as ways for us to grow. You know, like I'm going through this season of anxiety, but I'm going to use that as a period to grow and expand my toolkit, so to speak, of ways of coping.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually how he's referring to them, as different tools. And he basically just says that, like, what you have to do is say, you know, I'm going to do the best I can now. And then I'll go to the next thing and do the best I can there. And that's kind of what we've talked about as far as like just giving yourself grace each day to do these things. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and say this in case it continues to cut out. We've had technical difficulties. So if the editing doesn't sound perfect, that is why. Okay, so I'm just going to cut to the first like tool, I guess, that he brings up, and he calls it the string of pearls. And so basically, you have to picture like a line and then a circle and then like another line and circle that just keeps going on. I'm the one who puts the next pearl on the string, is how he words it. And so the circles equal actions. Looking at every action as having the same value, whether it's a failure or a success, you still just keep going, like keep putting the next pearl on the string and not put a size value on the effort behind your actions, whether, hot or cold, you're looking at it as all the same. And basically, that true confidence is living in uncertainty and moving forward.
Scary. It's scary but empowering, right? Where it's as you said, I really like that, but it's not putting a measurement on it, like, and it's that, that radical acceptance too that we talked about, where it's this is the reality of the situation now. Be it good or bad, this is my reality and I'm gonna walk through it. But yeah, it's daunting, right?
And I never really thought about that. To me, that takes a lot less pressure off keeping everything on the same level instead of constantly doing the highs and lows of like beating yourself up for anything you do that's bad or, extreme highs. So
Very true. Yeah.
he goes on to talk about the shadow. This one's not really a tool, but basically just kind of a way to look at your past self. So that's what he's referring to as your shadow. This one we're not going to go too much into, but they bring up some personal stuff with that. And it's basically just the part of yourself that you're ashamed of or that you wish that you weren't. And that's when Jonah Hill kind of brings in his past, which I feel like we've seen a lot of, like with his weight and everything. And he basically just said that if, I'm content with my true self, then other people's opinions affect me way less. To me, I have a very hard time trying to. I know that I don't really care about these people's opinions because, like, they're not really connected to me at all. But at the same time, social media, especially, is really hard to not let other people's opinions affect you kind of deeply, really.
Right. And I think too, say like our expectations of their opinion, like it may not actually be their opinions, but it's also like what we're programmed to think, like in
Right.
a way, like even with my friends, right? Like I might think, oh, they're gonna judge me on that, they're gonna judge me on this. And in
Yeah.
reality, they're probably not. Like my friends and family are extremely accepting, right? But it's like the way that, as you said, we've been programmed and going on social media and like this image of how whatever, spectrum of life we're in, like what that's supposed to look like. And then we expect, if we don't fit that mold, right? We expect people, not to accept us. It's the vicious cycle.
And that actually ties in super well to his next thing because he calls that the snapshot, like the realm of illusion is what he calls it, which kind of in a sense is like, yeah, like us not really being in reality as far as like how people actually will react to us, like you're saying. But he's saying, when you think of a picture, there's no movement, it's still, and it just kind of makes you forget those three aspects of reality, the pain, uncertainty, constant work thing that he talked about. And you're just looking for like this perfect experience, which kind of made me immediately think of attachment styles. Like when you think of the avoidance style, especially, they're known for looking for like the perfect wife because they don't actually, it doesn't exist, like the perfect person. And then you can tie that into also like the perfect job, the perfect life. I mean, you can't ever get that. And so he's saying, like we see that in our head. But it's like not moving. It's just completely not real. And that's something that we have to kind of pull ourselves out of.
And that's it's tough. It's tough, because we do have those idealized, things, whatever it may be for each of us. But I think recognizing it, right? Like I think that we talk about that a lot, is like just that step of recognizing, okay, this is an unhealthy way of thinking, right? Like that's right. The first step there is understanding that, you know, this perfect job, this perfect person, like those things don't exist. And I think that even just getting to a space to be able to dialogue that and talk about those emotions and our desires behind that is a huge step that a lot of people, I think we underestimate the importance of just doing that, you know, simply sitting with that. And as you talked about journaling, like writing those things down, like, you know, what does that look like? And yeah. Then being able to kind of look at that rationally, like, does that actually exist? You know, like, am I being real in this moment? And more times than not, like, we'll realize, oh yeah, like that's not real. Like that's, as you talked about, kind of that fantasy world almost.
Right. And that's something, so he does do some exercises with some of these, which, I mean, we can't really do that just speaking to people instead of being in the same room, like, close your eyes, picture this. But if you watch it, he does go into that a little bit more. If you feel like some of these are more relevant to you than others, they probably do an exercise on it. When you picture moving forward, he says that sometimes you can get stuck in this maze. And that's basically like, it always involves someone else, but feeling like somebody has mistreated you, or like you're on this quest for fairness and you get trapped in the past, as opposed to moving forward. And that you're supposed to get, instead of satisfaction from getting the fairness that you're not actually going to get, basically, you're supposed to get satisfaction from active love towards people. Basically, there is all these things that keep us from moving forward. An extra thing is people that you have problems with. And instead, he's saying that you have to have active love towards the person that you hate or you're mad at. And that kind of allows you to feel whole and free from this maze, which I don't feel like I have a problem with that. But then if I think about stuff in the past, that is definitely true. Like, I just keep thinking of like, oh, this person did this to me. Like, I'm never going to get past that. Like, I expect them to come to me apologizing when it's probably never going to happen. But he's saying you're supposed to just send this love to them. And honestly, that kind of goes back to the verse of like, you know, love your enemies and like pray for those who persecute you. Like, mm-hmm. We're told even just in the Bible that you almost need to be loving the people that you have issues with more than anyone else. So
yeah, and that's a really hard one. That's a really, really hard one. And I think it's an unfortunate part of healing, you know, is it's almost we have to come to our own peace with those broken relationships or whatever they may be. It's the only way we can move forward, you know, as you said. Otherwise we'll continue to be pulled back into those things. Yeah, and that's a tough one. You know, like I wish I had the answer to that one. You know, that's one that I'm much like you there, where if you were to ask me like, oh, do you struggle with that? I'd say, no, like I don't, you know, I don't really hold grudges, you know, I can move past stuff. But then when I sit and really think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, like that person hurt me and that still really sucks. Like I still think about that or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, so I feel like a lot of people still have questions as far as like how therapy is to begin with. Mm-hmm. And to me, initially thinking about it, you think like, okay, well, I'm going to discuss like everything that happened to me in the past. And like, I'm this way because my parent was like this, or like somebody was like this, and that's where it all comes from. And so I'm just going to show up and like discuss all the things that happened to me so they can explain why I am the way that I am. Whereas this guy is saying, you can't just let all those things continue to be hurting you today. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be loving them. I mean, starting now, I guess, if you're just now thinking about this, but you know what I mean? And that,
yeah.
I feel like I've not really heard talked about too much. The fact that like, you can't just keep letting this continue to hurt you. I mean, it's not like the hurt's ever going to go away,
right?
But trying to turn that into love, I mean, that is pretty, pretty difficult in some situations.
That's really, yeah, that really hit me. And I, you know, I won't speak for everyone. I think, you know, in talking to people, I think a lot of us, as you said, we do recognize those triggers, right? Like we recognize, okay, this thing happened and it really messed me up. You know, I went through this with my family and it really messed me up. Like, I think we're able to connect those dots, as you said, but the work in therapy now is the here and now, right? As you said, like, let's not let that thing continue to pull us into the past, but how do we confront that, you know, head on in the here and now? And it goes back to the, you know, the whole thing that, like, we can't let those past things dictate our future, right? Like, we can't let that past hurt dictate the way that we approach relationships now. Like, someone, you know, hurt me in the past, and like, now I'm bringing that with me into, you know, those we're carrying those past traumas with us, right? And that, you know, that's the true work in therapy, you know, is let's, in a way, let's end that cycle, you know, let's release that trauma. And some of the work that I've done too is kind of putting those things in boxes, right? You know, and putting them where they belong. You know, it's not, I'm going to erase those bad things that happened. You know, we have no way of doing that, but let's put that in an appropriate place, right? Let's kind of package up that hurt and that pain in a healthy way, right? Not suppressing it, but, you know, let's work through it, and then let's put it, you know, where it belongs, as opposed to carrying that box, that luggage with us, you know, everywhere we go. Yeah, because that was my case too, going to the therapy, is I was like, okay, like, I'm ready. You're going to talk about all these bad things that happened, and I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be better. And it's like, no, like, this is a constant cycle. Like, it's not like, oh, one session, you know, I talk about what I went through with my family and now I'm good. You know, it's like, no, like, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever that looks like I'm constantly working through those things. And yeah, back to the Jonah Hill example, you know, that's the only way that you can move forward.
Unfortunately, we're all about to get tested heavily in this area with the holidays coming up. So hopefully, I know even just for us, we are going to have to put this in practice a little bit. So hopefully we can try this active love process and see. Okay, so the next thing that he mentioned is radical acceptance, which to me, Christian or not, I mean, I know at least a lot of us would say, yes, everything happens for a reason. And nowadays, a lot more people, I feel like, are accepting that, whether they have any sort of religious beliefs. But that's kind of what he's saying, is that every event has something in it that you can learn from, and that it's more than just, okay, well, that happened to me today, it'll be better tomorrow. But basically training yourself to say, what am I going to do about it now? And he says there are two things to that. So one being, you're not allowed to make judgments or tell yourself anything negative, which is a pretty big task. And then two, to find something positive about it and then look at all the events as having value. And he also mentions an example of, like, when you're anxious about something and then you become anxious about the fact that you are anxious because you're kind of beating yourself up of, like, why is this making me anxious? Why is this making me anxious? And then you're getting deeper and deeper into that when he's wanting you to kind of reel yourself back in. And initially, that thing that is triggering it, try and go ahead and find the positive spin on that. And also just not be mean to yourself about how you're taking that initially.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, kind of going back to the empathy gap, you know, when those bad things do happen to us, when we get some time, you know, kind of that moves past that and we get back to a more rational thinking, we do beat ourselves up for how we reacted to it. You know, it's bad thing, like, why did I do that? Why did I act out in that way? And I think it goes back to, again, having that grace with ourselves. And yeah, that radical acceptance. And one of the big things that's been hard for me with radical acceptance is also, it's like, it's not being content with how things are, you know, because that was a big hurdle for me, is it's like, okay, you know, I can accept, at least in my mind, like, I can accept that things are the way they are right now. And like, there's hard things, there's bad things that are going on. And yeah, like, I can say, yeah, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. But I think part for me is like that piece of still being able to move forward and move past that, right? Like, well, like, we can accept the things that they are the way they are now, but that doesn't mean we have to be stuck here, if that makes sense. You know,
right.
Poor way of saying that, but because that's hard for me, is like, I felt like to accept it, I had to be stuck in it, right? Like, I had to, if things are bad, that meant that I had to just be stuck in this place. That's not what it means at all. It's like, there's just that first step of moving forward is accepting that thing happened. Like, you can't move to that next thing, you know, going back to the pearl analogy, right? Like, you have to put that pearl in a necklace to then move to the the next pearl. And that's hard. You know, that's definitely one of those things that's easier said than done. But yeah. Don't discredit that acceptance piece of, you know what, like, yeah, that really sucked. And I'm here in this situation, you know, just kind of being in that space.
Yeah. Well, and I know that that's something that I've brought up before, is just kind of redefining how we view contentment nowadays, because I just hear it thrown around so much as like, well, you're just okay. Like, you're just settling, you know, on whatever like relationship life thing is happening. But it's more of like, are you complacent about things? Because like, to me, we almost should strive for contentment in a way, while still moving forward, but like being content, I guess, like day to day with like, okay, this is what I have. Like, this is what I'm going to be okay with, but still going forward in a positive direction versus like going off in the maze and stuff like that, that he's talking about. But as far as like being complacent about things, yeah, like you don't want to just accept all these negative things as like, well, this is all I have to work with. You know, I get what you're saying.
I really like that complacent. And I think that also ties into our expectations of other people, where we think that they're going to judge us in that way, right? Like that, like we think, oh, that, you know, Tyler's being complacent because he's sitting in this space, right? Like, he needs to move forward. He needs to move past that. And we can't dwell on that, right? Like, we have to do what's best for ourselves in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the complacency is a really, that hits the nail on the head. Yeah.
That actually kind of brings me to the last thing that I'm going to talk about relating to this, because there was a whole lot of things that you could still watch and unpack with that. He mentions the grateful flow, which I feel like, as far as learning to be content and then also kind of going into this Thanksgiving season, it's super relevant for us. And so he's basically saying that this grateful flow is like not the things that you're grateful for, but more of the process of creating things to be grateful for. And so he uses this analogy of like, you're in a plane and you see the clouds and it's like, dang, this is going to be like such a gloomy day. But basically, like, once you get high enough above it, you realize like, oh, the sun's still there. And so he's saying that you're supposed to use this like flow of gratefulness to penetrate that negativity, like that cloud. And he says to say two or three things, like at most four things you're grateful for, like in that moment. And he goes through a whole activity of like sitting there in it and just like envisioning these things and just the way that you feel with it. And basically, the smaller the thing, the better, because it forces you to kind of concentrate that gratefulness, because you're striving for like the feeling of gratefulness instead of saying like the same things over and over that you're grateful for. Like, if they go around the table at Thanksgiving and you have to like name off the thing that you're thankful for, I feel like we're all like saying the same thing every single time. Kind of having a creative process for finding the little things to be grateful about and just sitting in like that thankfulness in order to get past some temporary negativity.
Yeah. And it sounds cheesy, but it's all about that shift in mindset, right? Where we're, as you said, we're not thinking about the clouds, but we're going to shift that mindset and think about a more positive thing, and it puts us in a better state. And I think it does, especially with the holidays, right? Like, it puts us in a more positive state as we maybe navigate some stressful or triggering environments, where it's like, I'm not going to focus on this negative, you know, I'm going to focus on positives. And again, it sounds really cheesy, but when you're able to just shift that way of thinking, yeah, you're able to move forward. And again, not be drawn back into, okay, this triggering thing, and it's pulling me back into the past, but I'm going to focus on, you said, you know, sky that's above the clouds.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, this, they go into a lot of things more deep than we're going into it now, but I highly recommend that everyone watch it. And I will have probably if I can get the Netflix link, like, linked below, I'll just put it there and make it easy for everyone. And then obviously like your Instagram and stuff, so people can reach out to either of us if they just want to talk about stuff. But as always, thank you for being on here and having such a good discussion and just being open about things that a lot of people are having trouble being open about.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks as always, Sarah. Really excited to be back on here. And I'd also plug our past episode. You know, we talked a lot more about holidays. So if folks do want to go back and listen to that one, I think think that's really important too. But yeah, thanks as always. Always appreciate the work you're doing.
Well, then hopefully we'll be back with another one before long.
Yeah, sounds good.